Congregation, let us rise to worship our Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Again, it's my privilege to greet you this afternoon, especially any visitors in our midst. I do that in Christian manner. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us sing together to his praise from Psalm 34, verse 1. The Lord I will extol at all times, bless his holy name. Come before our Lord in prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that we have once again an opportunity to sing your praises, to extol your great and holy name. And we pray, Lord, that we might do that from our hearts together. We ask, therefore, that you would remove anything, any frustration or thought that is not conducive to your worship, from us. And we pray that you would enable us to Listen intently to what you have to say to us in your holy word as that is read and expounded. Ask that you would work in our hearts by that word and your spirit, that you would encourage us, comfort us, strengthen us, and also, where necessary, even admonish us. Lord, we ask this because we desire greatly to live lives in thankfulness to you, not just now in this hour together of worship, but throughout our lives and in the whole week. We ask, therefore, that this worship would consolidate and support that desire. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Opportunity is given to you for the collection for Needy Sumba. Following upon the collection, we'll be singing from Psalm 25. We'll sing the verses 2, 3, and 6. The verses 2 and 3 are addressed to our Lord as prayer. And verse 6 then, we speak to each other, encouraging each other. Psalm 25, the verses 2, 3, and 6, after the collection. Our scripture readings this afternoon have to do with the fifth commandment, honour your father and your mother. We begin with a reading from Leviticus 22. Leviticus 22, the verses 27 and 28. And it speaks of the relationship between parents and children in the animal kingdom. When a bull or a sheep or a goat is born, it shall be 7 days with its mother. And from the eighth day and thereafter, it shall be accepted as an offering made by fire to the Lord. Whether it is a cow or ewe, do not kill both her and her young on the same day. Then from Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 21, those of you with good memories will realize that we read the same verse, or at least the first part of it, this morning. We'll read the last line this afternoon. Deuteronomy 14, verse 21, the last sentence. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. In chapter 22 of Deuteronomy, verses 6 and 7, if a bird's nest happens to be before you along the way, in any tree or on the ground, with young ones or eggs, with the mother sitting on the young or on the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. You shall surely let the mother go and take the young for yourself, that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days. And finally, the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, the first four verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Let us sing once again together, brothers and sisters, from Psalm 34. We'll sing the verses 5, 6, 7, and 8.
Thank you.
It is my privilege to preach God's word to you this afternoon, as that's summarized for us in Lord's Day 39. What does God require in the fifth commandment? Namely, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. That I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother, and to all those in authority over me, submit myself with due obedience to their good instruction and discipline, and also have patience with their weaknesses and shortcomings, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. Following upon the preaching of God's word, we will sing together from hymn 7, verse 6. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was in fact Jesus Christ himself who has taught us to view the Ten Commandments as commandments that can further be summarized in two great commands, commands having to do with love. And of course the Lord Jesus, in doing this, in summarizing God's commands in terms of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul and mind, and loving our neighbor as ourself, has shown us that these Ten Commandments, although they in and of themselves might be quite specific, are summaries that reach into our hearts, as it were. And they all of them need to be put into that great perspective of love. Loving God and loving our neighbor. And with each of the Ten Commandments, what's happening is that in a particular area of our life, one very important aspect is highlighted. For example, the seventh commandment, do not commit adultery. And yet it's a commandment too that reaches into every area of God's gift of sexuality. And it's the same with this command. Honor your father and your mother, the two most important people in governing and raising us in our lives. And so they are singled out. Although this command reaches also into our hearts, not only in how we honor our parents, but into every kind of authority relationship that God has established in this world, which extends from that basic creation ordinance of the family. And so I preach to you this afternoon, keeping the fifth, honor your father and your mother. And we will consider firstly respecting the parent-child relationship. Secondly, rearing in the Lord's training and admonition. And thirdly, rejoicing in a first command with a promise. Keeping the fifth, honoring your father and your mother. Well, brothers and sisters, as we think about this commandment this afternoon, let us first indeed consider how in this commandment God asks us to respect that basic relationship between parents and children. And you might have thought it a little bit strange that we read a few commandments from the law to do with the animal kingdom this afternoon. And yet what I wanted to illustrate in reading those laws was how the Lord also for us illustrates that we ought, even in the animal kingdom, to respect that parent-child relationship. God, after all, created Adam and Eve in his own image, and by that image he asked them to subdue and exercise dominion over the earth. Genesis 1 verse 28. And that's the way the Lord God, right in the first chapter of the Word, of His Word, the Bible, summarizes what it is to be God's image, to subdue and exercise dominion over creation. And you don't just do that by destroying creation, by kicking it down, by being a tyrant over it. We do that by respecting the creation that God has given us and placed us in, and indeed by exploring it and using it and developing it. Well, one thing that God has placed also in creation, in the animal kingdom, is that same relationship of parents and children. And in His law, in the law of Moses, God has given a number of examples whereby He asks His covenant children also in that animal kingdom to respect that relationship. A cow and a calf, for example, are not to be slaughtered together on the same day. Even although we are allowed to use animals for food, and in those days for sacrifice, not together. And if a calf is a firstborn calf, for example, and you know it's intended for sacrifice, not for rearing, not for using on your land, nevertheless, you let it be with its mother to be nursed for 7 days. And from the 8th day onward, it can be taken. Or what about the command that people often puzzle over? You shall not boil a kid in its mother's milk. What we need to realize there, brothers and sisters, is that in fact, boiling meat in those days was far more common than roasting it. In fact, most meat in those days was consumed, because it was very expensive if you were going to eat it, in God's temple, where it had to be sacrificed anyway, and where one of the animals was given back to you for a meal, a very unusual meal, for most people did not eat meat in those days regularly. But one of the things God had said was that except for the Passover lamb, all meat prepared in my sanctuary must be boiled. And what we don't often appreciate is the fact that it was usually boiled not in water, but in milk. Those people that are used to hunting and eating wild game will perhaps understand why. When you boil meat in milk, you are significantly reducing tasteless or distasteful odors and taste from the animal's meat. Even soaking it in milk will do that to some extent. Well, says God, fine to boil in milk, but even when you do that, respect the parent-child relationship. Do not boil a kid in its mother's milk. Even in the way we deal with animals, we need to be aware of this very special relationship that God has placed in creation. The more so, of course, when we come to human beings, parents and children. But you know, this fifth commandment can often be minimalized just to that relationship between kids growing up and mum and dad in the family unit. That is certainly not the intention of the fifth commandment. It is much bigger than just the relationship between parents and kids. Because of course kids grow up, kids get married, and when they get married, they no longer have to obey their parents. Their parents lose that authority over them. But although kids no longer obey their parents, if they're grown up, if they're married themselves, and a new authority structure has been formed, nevertheless, they still have the duty to honor them. And that's why the fifth commandment is worded in that way. It is not, obey your father and your mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise. And it is not that for a very good reason. It applies to more than just kids at home. It is honor your father and your mother. And that, brothers and sisters, is a commandment that applies to each and every one of us for as many days as the Lord our God gives us on this earth. Even when mum and dad have passed away or been taken up to the Lord, this commandment still applies. We honour father and mother. We honour them in the way we speak about them. We honour them in the way we remember them. We honour them by giving them due respect. Now, respect does not mean that we lie about them. If parents have been wicked, for example, or done things that were tragic, we're not expected to bury that. We're not expected to lie about it. In fact, certain very wicked things need to be brought out in the open. However, even then, respecting and honoring parents does mean that we do not unnecessarily blab their weaknesses or their wickedness, if such be the case, to people for whom it is no concern whatsoever. Yes, if something tragically terrible has happened, sometimes, unfortunately, even the police do need to be involved. Honouring your parents doesn't have nothing to do with sweeping sins under the rug. But it does mean respecting them and giving them the respect that is due to them. And that can also mean deliberately, when speaking of them, speaking of their good things. Speaking of the positive things in their life. And not dwelling unnecessarily on perhaps what might be perceived as negative elements, especially to those for whom it is of no concern. Honouring mother and father is a command for each and every one of us. Now, you know, in the context of ancient Israel, one of the focuses in God's law on this fifth commandment was especially honouring mother and father in their old age. And then we need to remember, of course, that in ancient Israel there was no government social welfare system. Children honoured father and mother by caring and looking after them in their old age, when they were no longer able to work, when they were no longer able to support themselves. That is very much part and parcel of what this commandment is getting at. It was the prime responsibility in Israel given to the firstborn son, which is why in the law of Moses, the firstborn son inherits twice as much as the others. Not because he's considered to be much more important than the other sons. Of course not. That's nonsense. Every child is unique and important both to the Lord and to mum and dad. But the firstborn son in Israel was given the added responsibility of making sure that mum and dad were taken care of in old age, which is why he received twice as much. That's why, too, if you think about the parable of the prodigal son that Jesus spoke of, it's the younger son that asks dad for his inheritance early and goes off and spends it all. The older son could never have done that. Could never even have posed the question with a realistic expectation that dad would have given it. He had the responsibility to stay there. His share was twice as much as the younger son. The younger son gets his share, and as we know from the parable, wastes it entirely. The main point here, brothers and sisters, is that honouring father and mother very much also involves caring for them when they become weak and frail, and even perhaps no longer able to think for themselves properly anymore. It applies even when they have passed on. Having said all that, of course, this commandment also applies to children. And the way that children are expected to honour mum and dad is indeed, as the Apostle Paul quite rightly says, to obey them. Yes, they need to be obeyed. Because mum and dad are placed there to help bring children up in the fear of the Lord. They need to be taught by example, but also taught by explanation, by training, by discipline. And God has put that authority and relationship in place. Mum and dad are there in the place of God. That may sound strange, but think only of the baptism form. Children are entrusted to the parents by the Lord God. They're, in the first place, God's children, entrusted to you as mums and dads. But you bring them up in the fear of, not yourself, you bring them up in the fear of the Lord on His behalf. There's one important proviso, isn't there, in what the Apostle Paul says. He says, children, obey your parents. But he says something else. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. A very important proviso. Children are expected to obey mum and dad because it is the Lord that is asking them to. But also, insofar as the instruction and guidance of mum and dad is in accordance with the will of the Lord. For there is one that is always above any kind of authority relationship we experience in this life, and that is God. As important as somebody else might be, that could be mum or dad, or in the case, think of the Apostle Peter, of the high priest and the high council of Jerusalem, the most important authority relationship in Peter's day. If God says one thing, and somebody here on earth says another, we obey the Lord. Which is why Peter had to front up at a certain point when he was forbidden to preach about Jesus Christ. He says, I cannot do that. I must obey the Lord above men. Obeying in the Lord is also telling us how we obey our parents. You know, it's one thing to do what they say. Go tidy your room. You can go and do it. You won't get punished. But obeying in the Lord means at the same time giving mum and dad respect. Even when you don't feel like it, when you feel you'd rather be doing something else, or even worse, when you feel what you've been asked to do is perhaps unfair, or a little bit on the nose. Obeying mum and dad and the Lord means respecting them for who they are, and understanding that when you obey them, even when you feel that it's a little bit unfair, could have been done otherwise. No, I want to do this because I want to serve the Lord. And in going and doing this for them, I'm doing it to serve my Creator, the person who in heaven is my Heavenly Father, cares for me and looks after me. And if He asks me to do something, I want to show Him my love and thankfulness by obeying these people, my mum and dad, or in life, brothers and sisters, whoever is placed in authority over you, whether that be a policeman who might have gotten up your nose, or whether that be your boss at work. We obey them in the Lord, giving them respect for God's sake. You see, the moment you start giving people respect because you think, well, they deserve it, you're in danger of becoming God yourself, or at least wanting to. Because you're making the decision of who is worthy of your obedience and respect and who's not. God says, if somebody has rightly put an authority over you, you respect him. Whether that's a teacher at school, we all know that example. Of course, there are teachers that can really teach well and they command respect, and you just automatically want to give them respect they deserve. And there's always going to be a few teachers at school that really just cannot control a class, are not really that great at teaching anyway. And the first thing you think to yourself, of course, is, well, he doesn't really deserve my respect. And what happens? Very often, class becomes a pandemonium. But is that showing respect in the Lord? If somebody is placed over us, that is what the Lord asks of us. In obedience, not just in action, but from the heart. Well, let's then turn to the second point this afternoon, brothers and sisters. And then we focus more on that parent-child relationship. Rearing, as Paul puts it, in the Lord's training and admonition. What the Apostle Paul is saying here in Ephesians is very interesting. He's speaking about three different authority relationships in this letter. He starts at the second half of chapter 5 with that relationship between husbands and wives. Then he deals with parents and children, particularly fathers. And then he deals with slaves and masters, the three authority relationships most common in the social circumstances of his time. But what he does is he picks for each side of that relationship, he picks on the thing that is actually the most difficult to do. Husbands and wives. Wives, yes, he picks on that. Submit to your husbands. Not love your husbands. Of course wives must love their husbands. But submit, that's the harder of the two. For husbands, it's not rule your wives well. The harder one for husbands is love your wives. Love them with that same self-sacrificing love that Jesus Christ has shown us on the cross. For slaves and masters too. The hard one for masters is not to get the slave to do what you want. For a master, that's pretty easy. But the master has to be careful how he deals with his slave. And the slave needs to be careful how he shows respect to his master, not with eye service as men pleases, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. And so it is with children and parents. Children, indeed, obey your parents. That's what the Lord is asking of you in the Lord. Fathers, he doesn't say, make sure you discipline your children well. Discipline is something, of course, that is talked about in Scripture as something important. No, he says, fathers, make sure you don't provoke your children unnecessarily. Your discipline has to be bounded and limited by your task, which is training them in the Lord. Well, I think it is helpful, brothers and sisters, to ask ourselves what the relationship is between what Paul is saying here about that authority relationship between parents and children and what was culturally normal in Paul's own day. Have you ever asked yourself, I wonder what Paul's parents did when they brought him up as a little Pharisee? Actually, we know quite a bit about what was considered to be a good and appropriate way for a good Orthodox Jew, Pharisee, to bring their children up. And it can be interesting then, brothers and sisters, to compare that to what the Apostle Paul actually writes as an apostle of Jesus Christ, encouraging the Christian churches to bring their children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And so I want to read you a passage. It's from one generation earlier than the Apostle Paul. And it's instructing good Orthodox Jewish parents how to bring their children up, particularly fathers. Listen, consider, and reflect whether this is the same or different to what the Apostle Paul is asking of us. It comes from Sirach chapter 30. He who loves his son will whip him often, so that he may rejoice at the way he turns out. He who disciplines his son will profit by him, and will boast of him among acquaintances. He who teaches his son will make his enemies envious, and will glory in him among his friends. When the father dies, he will not seem to be dead, for he has left behind him one like himself, whom in his life he looked upon with joy, and death without grief. He has left behind him an avenger against his enemies, and one to repay the kindness of his friends. Whoever spoils his son will bind up his wounds, and will suffer heartache at every cry. An unbroken horse turns out stubborn, and an unchecked son turns out headstrong. Pamper a child, and he'll terrorize you. Play with him, and he will grieve you. Do not laugh with him, or you will have sorrow with him. And in the end, he will gnash your teeth. Give him no freedom in his youth, and do not ignore his errors. Bow down his neck in his youth, and beat his sides while he's young, or else he will become stubborn and disobey you, and you will have sorrow of soul from him. Discipline your son and make his yoke heavy, so that you may not be offended by his shamelessness. Well, brothers and sisters, there are many good things in what is said there, but I hope you would agree it is very one-sided. The Apostle Paul asks of fathers, don't make your children bitter. Don't provoke them. The kind of relationship that was common in Paul's day and recommended is something totally different. In fact, what Sirach is basically saying is, train your children like a horse. In fact, he who loves his son will whip him often. The word used is the horse whip. An unbroken horse turns out stubborn. An unchecked son turns out headstrong. Discipline him. Make sure that he is or knows what punishment really is. And if you think about it, that is actually the way you need to train an animal if you get an animal to obey you. We don't often have to do with horses anymore in our day, but training dogs is perhaps more well known. And if you want a dog to obey you and to be your absolute faithful servant, any dog trainer will tell you that dog must know the punishment, must know exactly what will happen if he does not obey your command. It's the only way to get a dog properly trained. That's the kind of advice that's being given here for raising children. It is not the same as what God's Word is telling us. Sirach also says, don't become emotionally attached to your children. Fathers, don't play with them. Don't share emotions with them. Is that what we hear in Scripture? Is that what we hear from the Apostle? Nothing of the sort. You see, our children are not animals. Our children are created too in the image of God. Did you see how that played out in Sirach? That father is not expected to raise up a child to be an adult image of God. Just the opposite. He's to be raised up to be an image of himself, so that when he dies, he lives on in his kid. You won't find anything like that in Scripture. What have we been talking about? Children are entrusted to parents by the Lord. They are made in His image, just as you are created in His image. And if we're going to rear children in the training and discipline of the Lord, it is so that they can grow up to be the image of the Lord and not the image of me. Parents need to lead by example in that, so that our children know what it is to be an image bearer. So that our children know what it is to be heartfelt, thankful to the Lord for what He has done for us and saved us through Jesus Christ. That mum and dad need that salvation, need that cross of Christ just as much as the children. I wonder sometimes how often we do that, because that's difficult, let's be honest. It's difficult sometimes to show your emotion, to show your weakness, because that's what it is, your humility before God in front of your children. It's difficult to admit, I need the cross of Christ to your children. Because all too often we think, no, I'm supposed to be the dad here or the mum. I'm supposed to be the one that knows everything and is an authority and has control of life. God has control of life. And our children need to learn that from us as well. Certainly, we need to train them and where necessary to discipline and admonish. One thing that the Bible is clear on, it is that. But it is within that context of raising a child in the image of God that discipline and admonishment comes into play. In some ways, you might even see what the Apostle Paul is writing here is to be a correction and a reaction against, also a positive one, against his own upbringing. As an apostle, of course, inspired in what he writes by his master Jesus Christ himself. Finally, brothers and sisters, it is also interesting to see that the Apostle Paul points us to something else with respect to this commandment. He says literally, honor your father and your mother, which is a first commandment with promise. These words are often misunderstood because, partly because of the translation, says here, which is the first commandment with promise. It's not actually what Paul writes. Paul writes, which is a first commandment with promise. Now that sounds a little bit strange in English. How can you have a first commandment? If anything's a first anything, then it's the first. But you see, in Greek, that can have a different connotation. Take, for example, the question of the rich young ruler to the Lord Jesus when thinking about the commandments. Remember, he thought he'd done all the commandments. But he asks the Lord Jesus, in the translation, what is the greatest commandment? Actually, literally, what he says to Jesus is, what is a first commandment of all? What's a chief commandment? What is the commandment out of which other commandments flow? That's the point. And that's also Paul's point here. When he says, the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, is a first commandment, he is saying it is a commandment out of which other commands flow forth. And that was the point of Jesus' answer too to the rich young ruler. If the rich young ruler asks him, what's a first commandment, a commandment out of which the other commandments flow? Jesus says, love God with all your heart, soul and might. And another first commandment, a second like unto it, a second first commandment, that is, love your neighbour as yourself. Well, Paul says too, this one, honour your father and mother, is a first commandment, a commandment out of which other ones flow forth, and it's also one with a promise. Well, the fact that other commands flow forth from this is adequately illustrated by what our catechism says, is it not? That I shall well honour love and faithfulness to my father and mother, and to all those in authority over me. That I submit to their obedience, but also have patience with their weaknesses. It doesn't just apply to mum and dad. It applies to all authority relationships. Because if you get mum and dad right, if you learn how to respect parents, when your kids, through correct obedience in the Lord, and when you become older and you're married yourself, through that respect and honour that you give to mum and dad, you have learned a way of dealing with people in authority that will stand you in good stead for any authority relationship in this life. Remember, the hardest thing is always dealing with people that are really close to you. If you're living in the same house with somebody, loving them, respecting them, even obeying them if that's what is required, is the hardest thing than it is to obey somebody who is not so close to you. To respect somebody that is further removed. If you've learned to do that with mum and dad, you are in good stead for serving within the social system of our culture. It is a chief commandment, and others flow forth from it. But it's also a command with promise, says Paul, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. What's Paul thinking of? Well, you could explain it in this way, and that's probably the way originally it was thought of. In fact, this is a chief commandment, a first commandment. Others flow forth from it, and if a society learns to respect parents, then it will be a stable and healthy society. It will be a society where you are safe. It will be a society where people are not randomly killed. And you can expect to live a long and fruitful life in such a society. A society, you see, where parents are no longer respected, is a society where kids grow up not respecting any kind of authority relationship, whether that be mum or dad, or later on police, or whoever, government. You end up with anarchism. You end up with a society that is very dangerous because everybody is doing what is right in his own eyes. However, in the context also of the letter to the Ephesians, I believe it is also probable that Paul is thinking of things rather further into the distance. In chapter 2, he had described believers as already, as it were, seated with Christ in the heavenly places. In other words, if you have union with Christ by faith, it is as if you're already with him there, in principle. Yes, we have to struggle through this life yet. But that new life in Jesus Christ has begun, and it will come in full fruition when he returns, when all things are made new. And we are being filled with his Spirit, even here and now. Particularly in obeying this commandment. I don't know if you remember that. In chapter 5, just before Paul begins talking about these authority relationships, he talks about being filled with the Spirit instead of being drunk with wine. And actually, all these authority relationships that he talks about have to do with that. Because for the apostle, you see, they are ways in which you demonstrate that we are filled with God's Spirit. He says, don't be drunk with wine, that's 5 verse 18, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit in 4 distinct ways. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Giving thanks always for all things to the Father. Sorry, I missed one. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, that was the second. The third, giving thanks to all things, for all things to God the Father. And the fourth one, which is the surprising one, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And that's the springboard for talking about these authority relationships in life. As we show how we submit to weak and sinful people that are placed over us, we are showing the measure by which God's Spirit is already filling us, leading us to that full and rich life that Christ has promised in the new heavens and the new earth. Well, let us remember these things, brothers and sisters, as we consider that commandment that can so easily be dismissed as something very simple, obey mum and dad. But it's a very rich commandment. And it's a commandment that has a task for each and every one of us. And let us go about that task, brothers and sisters, in faith, in love for God, and therefore in appropriate love for our neighbor. May God be praised in the way we think, act, and respect our parents. Amen. Let's sing from hymn 7, verse 6. On behalf of the consistory, there are the following announcements. Home visits this week will be brought to Brother Chris van der Plas, Monday at 7:30 p.m. and Family A van Delden, Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. You're further reminded of the wedding that will take place forthcoming Saturday. The consistory announces indeed that Sister Amy Hart and Brother Leon Fisser have indicated their intention to enter the married state. The desire to do this in the name of the Lord, to complete it to His glory, and if no lawful objection is raised, the ceremony will take place on the 10th of October at 11:30 a.m. in the Freeholm Church of Rockingham, myself officiating. In our prayer, we will give thanks for the safe return of our brother Eric de Haan in his trip to visiting the mission posts in Sumba that we're able to support, and give thanks for what I hear was a very good and fruitful trip. We will also give the Lord thanks for the fact that also here in Western Australia, beginning has been made of the grain harvest, and we need to acknowledge also God's providence in that. We will also be praying that family Ashley Hart may experience a good time in Tasmania, where they are headed. This is, I understand, the last Sunday that they'll be in our midst. So let us come before our Lord in prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise, and that you indeed, in Jesus Christ your Son, have become our Heavenly Father, a perfect, just, and righteous Father, who has demonstrated his love for us, such that you have sent your only Son to be crucified in our place. And Lord, we are so thankful for that genuine expression of love toward us. And we pray, Lord, that you would grant that in our own relationships with children, that we might reflect that same love. That we would not bring up children to be our own images, but that we would show that affection, that love that you have shown us in Jesus Christ. That we would bring them up to be your image bearers. To be able to walk in the steps of faith in Jesus Christ as you have taught us to walk in his name. Lord, we ask if you would forgive us if we have failed sometimes and caused you offense in the way that we have either dealt with our own parents or with our children. We pray that you would give us the strength but also the wisdom to be able to do this in an honest, God-fearing way. Help us, Lord, to show the respect and honor that our own parents are due, even perhaps sometimes when that can be difficult. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to be with your church here, that you would enable us to, also in the way we respect authority relationships, to be light and salt, to be an example to others. We pray, Lord, also that you would be with your churches throughout the whole earth. But we think particularly this day of the churches that we are privileged to support in Sumba. We thank you that our brother Dahan could return from a successful trip there. We pray, Lord, that you would be with the missionaries that we're able to support, that you would bless them and their work, and that the gospel might go out, and that you would work in the hearts of the people, both here and there. Lord, we pray that you would be with our brother and sister Leon Fissett and Amy Hart as they prepare for their impending marriage this coming week. We thank you that you bring people together, that they can join themselves in holy marriage, and that we can celebrate that great gift of marriage that you have given to us. We pray, Lord, also then this afternoon that you would be with mothers and fathers, that you would be with them in their relationship, also with each other, and that you would enable us, Lord, to always come humbly before your throne, acknowledging our own weaknesses, that frustrations in relationships, whether that be between married couples or brothers and sisters in Christ, that they may not gain the upper hand, that the devil would not come between us, but that by walking humbly with you, we may, Lord, with uprightness, with humility, and with love, be able to be bonded together and to seek peace and reconciliation. We pray, Lord, that you would be with family Ash and Joe Hart as they embark on their trip to Tasmania to take up life there. And we ask that you would make them a blessing in their new congregation, give them a good trip, and that you would use them also there to the edification of that congregation. We pray, Lord, for the young people preparing to profess their faith next Lord's Day. We ask that you would be with them, that that would be a moment in which they may rejoice in being able to stand up publicly and state, therefore, their love for you and their desire to live their lives for you. And we pray that you would be with them and encourage them also in this decision. Lord, we ask all these things. We ask them in your name, for we can only live by your strength. Help us then too in the tasks that you give us in this life, even when there are struggles. We ask this humbly in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our final song this afternoon you will find in Psalm 103, in verses 5 and 8. Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.